Before I tell you guys where we're going to be at, I would like to mention that sometimes in life, it can feel like our hard work goes unrewarded. Maybe on a sports team, we felt like we should have started because we worked hard and we didn't really see the fruit of our labor there. Sometimes maybe in a job setting, despite what Joel Osteen might say, you don't get that promotion that you thought you were due. And that can sometimes happen. We maybe feel like we didn't get rewarded like we were expecting or hoping for. But there is a reward coming that we can look forward to that God is sure to give. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that'll be on page 1286 if you're using the church's Bibles. And with this, what we're going to do, we're going to change it up a little bit this week. I'm going to read the odd number verses, and the even number verses the church is going to read. And the even number verses, I think they're in yellow, so it should be easy for us to go through. So, Nikki, if you would hit that, thank you. It says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given." "So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." "For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building." "For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ."
"If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious.
For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." So the title of today's message is Building Your Life on Jesus Christ. And that's something that each person in this room should endeavor to do, is to make Jesus Christ the absolute highest point in our life, that he should be the focus of all that we do. Whenever you're kind of coming up with a message, different pastors call it different things, but I've been taught to call it the central idea of the text. What's the main takeaway from the message? So before we even get into the passage, I want you guys to keep this in your mind. It says, our faithfulness in this life determines our rewards in the life to come. Our faithfulness in this life determines our rewards in the life to come. So if you'll look back with me on, if you're using the church Bible, page 1286, 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given." So we wouldn't necessarily say that today. We don't have Paul or Apollos, you know, in the streets, but maybe somebody says, well, I'm of Charles Stanley, or I'm of John MacArthur, or David Platt, or David Jeremiah. We throw all these pastors out there and we maybe want to cling to them. Those are our guys that we really focus on. And there's nothing wrong with having a favorite pastor or a favorite guy that we like to read. That's great. But it becomes a problem when we put these pastors or these theologians on a pedestal almost equal to, or in some cases almost above, God himself. It's like if they say it, it's gospel. I'm of this guy. And that was what was going on there. They were kind of taking sides. Well, I'm of Paul, and oh, well, I'm extra spiritual. I'm of Apollos. And they were kind of figuring out who was with who. And Paul says, they are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given them. So two things to take away from that verse is that they're just servants. They're not anything better or bigger than you are. We're all just servants for the King. So that gives us an ease of the fact that we're not having distinctions in our spiritual walk. We're all in the same boat in our daily lives. God gives us different abilities, but different ways of using that. So they had different roles. Paul was more of the theologian and missionary. Apollos, it would seem, was an eloquent speaker. So they maybe had different roles, but they had the same job, which was to glorify Jesus Christ. So for all of us, you know, some of us might work construction, some might be an accountant or a nurse, whatever. We have different jobs, but ultimately our focus should be on glorifying Jesus. That should be the, regardless if you are in paid vocation or not, that's what God's expecting from every believer, is to make Jesus Christ our foundation, to make Jesus Christ glorified, to glorify him with our daily living. So in verse 6, it says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So with this, we can think about the fact that these people, he gives a agricultural example here. And he's saying, you know, some people are doing the watering, some doing the planting. And if you could just kind of imagine that we're, you know, I don't plant at all, but if I was to have like a little flower that I had in my front windowsill, you know, I maybe plant the seed and I could water it every day and it gets the sunlight. But ultimately, I can't affect whether that thing grows or not. It's going to grow or it's not. That's out of my hands. And that's kind of the example that Paul's using here. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, you maybe are sharing the gospel with somebody. Somebody else is praying for them and inviting them to church. We're doing these different things. But ultimately, it's God who gives the growth. It's not, I can't force somebody to trust in Jesus. I wish I could, because I would do it to a lot of people, but I can't do that. But what we're called to do is we're just called to share, to be faithful with what God's given to us. We've got the gospel message. He doesn't want us to keep it hidden under a basket, but he wants us to let that light shine towards others. And God, and this can take the pressure off of evangelism, it can take the pressure off of what we do as Christians. God is the one who gives the increase. All our job is to be faithful with what he's given to us. And if we're faithful, then that's all God's looking for. So with these graduating seniors, they're going to different avenues of life, no longer at Hinton and El Reno High School. But as they go out, they're going to encounter different people. And you guys at your families or places of work or wherever, we encounter people on a day-to-day basis that we have. It's not just an encouragement from God. Jesus gave us in the Great Commission, which is a command, to go and make disciples. He wants us to go and share the good news. So my prayer for the seniors is they would take the light of Jesus with them to wherever they go, whether it's to Swasu or if they go overseas, that we are to be a light in this world. So continuing on, it says this, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers, you are God's field, God's building. So the fact is that we are just co-laborers, we're co-workers, we all work together for our master. If you've trusted in Jesus, then we all are having the same job with glorifying Jesus in our daily life. And looking at verse 8, which we'll kind of get back to that in a minute, but I just want to say something real quick. It says, with this, sometimes people think it's unspiritual to seek after spiritual rewards. They say, well, I just want heaven. Jesus is enough for me. And that's great. Jesus is enough. But Jesus actually encouraged us to seek after spiritual rewards. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But Jesus said, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus, he said, I want you to store up treasures in heaven. And treasures in heaven, they just don't randomly happen to people. God doesn't just go, oh, I'll just give him or her extra treasures in heaven. They come by faithfulness in this life. And that should be all the more reason that we should want to endeavor to serve our King. And we'll get more into that here in a little bit. But in verse 9, whenever it talks about we're co-workers, we're just instruments in the hands of a master builder or an awesome artist. You know, ultimately, if you have like somebody like Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or whatever, they maybe are fantastic artists. You're not really going to thank the paintbrush for, you know, what they did, you're going to say, well, that was the artist who did that masterpiece. But God has given us the ability to be used by him to make this masterpiece, to do an awesome deed in this world. And the humbling thing, and also something for us to kind of check ourselves with, is if we think that we're so big, God can't do whatever he's doing without us, then he'll just go to the next person and he'll use them. You know, none of us are so special that God couldn't do the same thing or more with somebody else. So if God's calling us to do something, we should think of that as a great privilege, and we should endeavor to be faithful with that. So continuing on as we go to kind of the main part of this passage, it says this: according to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it. So there's a foundation that we're going to be looking at, and we all are having different building materials. And here's what he says in verse 12. He says, excuse me, verse 11, it says, "For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ." So before getting into this, we need to keep in mind, sometimes people call this the judgment seat of Christ. I was reading somebody refer to it as the reward seat of Christ. This is a time only for believers. So what we're looking at here is only talking about believers and the rewards that God is going to give them whenever we face the judgment. And with this, we see that the reward seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, the way that we know, there's several ways, but the main way that we know this is only for believers. There's no unbelievers in this judgment. It says clearly in verse 11, "For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ." So an unbeliever does not have the foundation of Jesus Christ in their life, that they have not trusted in him. And so this is only for those who have trusted in him, that make him the absolute bedrock, essential part of their life. And I'm not much of a construction guy, I'm not much of a handyman, but I'm smart enough to know the most important part of a building is the foundation. You know, you can have everything else right about the house, but if the foundation is messed up, the house is going to come tumbling down eventually. And that's what the Bible's telling us about our lives. You maybe have everything else right, but if your foundation is not in Jesus, then it's somewhere wrong. And sometimes we can go off into all kinds of different avenues as what our foundation might be. The easiest one for people that grow up in Oklahoma and go to church on any kind of basis is to think that because I've been baptized, my foundation is in Jesus. Because I've gone to church, my parents are good Christians, whatever, my foundation is in Jesus. It's not just saying that you have good things to say about Jesus, because if I had to guess, most everybody in this room would have a good opinion about Jesus. Nobody would say a bad word about Jesus in this room. But the fact is it's not saying, do you have a good opinion about Jesus, but have you bowed the knee to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you called upon him as being the boss of your life and to save you from your sins? And if you haven't done that, then he is not your foundation right now. And the good news is that he desires to have you in his kingdom, but he's not going to force you. So if you don't want to trust in him, you know, that's something that God has given us the ability to do. But what he's wanting from you is to call upon the name of the Lord. It says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the good news for us is that if you still have breath in your lungs, then there's probably still a chance for you. If you're still feeling, well, I don't know if I've done too much, if it's too late for me, the fact that you're even thinking that tells me that it's not, that you still have a conscience and the Holy Spirit working on your heart. So before saying anything else, I would just like to implore you, as we're talking about this and we're going to go into rewards for Christians, don't just pass this on by and think, well, I'm glad he's done talking about salvation, I'll start listening to this other stuff now. Because maybe for some of us, we need to get the first things first, settle with the first. And because we can talk about Jesus, you can know all kinds of Bible scripture, but if we don't have that foundation, and maybe you do, but maybe you haven't been building on it like you should, that's what we're going to be looking at as well right now. So if you have your Bible, go to verse 12 now. It says, "If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious." So whenever we're looking at this, And we see that there's going to be a fire that we're going to have our works go through. It becomes obvious that the materials that we build with are of vital importance. You can build with all kinds of different materials. And that's what this passage is talking about. It says gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Now, whenever those things, whether this is a figurative fire or it's a literal fire that it's talking about here, I'm not sure. But whether it's figurative or literal, the point is the same, which is our works are going to go through some type of fire. And you guys already know what happens to wood, hay, and straw when it goes through a fire. It gets burnt up. And the same with gold, silver, precious stones. Whenever it goes through the fire, it actually stays the same or it gets more refined and better. And whenever we're building with these things that will pass through and have no eternal significance, that's what he's talking about. He's saying some of us are building our lives. Maybe we've trusted in Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. But now we're living without him in mind. And we're building with shoddy materials. And that's not going to pass through the fire unscathed. And the sad truth of it is, you know, the Bible, it talks about in the parable, the talents, how the master who symbolizes Jesus, how he gives to one servant five talents, one servant two, another servant one talent. And he says, each according to his ability. And then whenever he comes back and he sees that the five, he made five more. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And the two, he made two more. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. The guy with one didn't do anything with his. He just sat on it. And Jesus, he had words of condemnation against that guy because he did not use what God had entrusted to him. And so in the same way for us, whether we have a lot or a little to offer God, he's going to give the same praise for the same heart that we're doing it with. He's not as concerned with and I firmly believe that whether you're somebody who is a pastor of a mega church or you're a single mom who's faithfully trying to point her kids to Christ, God's not concerned with the size of the church. He's concerned with the heart behind what we're doing. In fact, a lot of times these single moms or these faithful guys who are preaching it, you know, to five people or whatever, they're going to have more treasures in heaven than some of the mega church guys. Because sometimes we see the outside, we see what people want to show us, and God, what's he looking at? He's looking at the heart. That's what was said to David. He says, men look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And that should be a great blessing to each of us to know I don't have to compete or try to live up to the person I see on TV or to my neighbor or my brother or sister. I'm just called to live the life that God's called me to live. And what's neat is God's called you to do a specific job. And I'm not just talking about vocation, but I'm talking about your life. And if God's called you to do something, this is something that the Lord just kind of put in my heart. Before I even like felt called to Houston or the job at the school that I have, I just was praying and he just kind of spoke to me about the fact that if God calls you to something, if God calls you to work as a garbage man, if you became president of the United States, it'd be a step down in God's mind. Because if the God of all the universe is calling you to do something specifically, if we do something that might be in the world's eyes more illustrious, more prominent, but if it's not that same way in God's eyes, then that's a loss. So we should just be faithful where God's calling us and endeavor to do that. Listen to this verse. It says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. So God's going to reward each person according to what they have done. And if you would look on verse 13, we're going to read that. It says, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. Sometimes I like to read out of other translations that are maybe a little bit off the wall. I don't use them for my primary Bible reading, but I like to sometimes read them to get just another feel for how you could interpret this verse. And verses 12 and 13, I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, it says this: take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. So, you know, right now we can build however we want to build, but one day there will be an inspection. All of our deeds are going to pass through this fire, and there's not going to be any, you know, excuses. God's going to see right through all of our excuses that we maybe give for why we didn't do this or why we forgot to do that. And he's going to go look at our heart, why we chose to live the life that we chose to live. And what's humbling is in verse 14, it says, if anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. So each of us is going to receive rewards on an individual basis. Sometimes we just think, well, my parents are great Christians, we're all going to be in this together, and we're going to do it, you know, holding hands or whatever. But the judgment seat, God's going to reward each of us according to how faithful we were with what God has given to us. And there's not going to be any second chances at that point. We're going to face that before him ourselves. But if you look back in verse 13, it says, for the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. Think about that word quality. He doesn't say the quantity, but the quality of each person's work. So what God's looking at is obviously he wants us to do as many good deeds as possible, but he's looking for not just that we're doing them, but the quality behind what we're doing. Is our heart right when we're doing these actions, or are we doing it just to be applauded by other people? Because God, he wants us, whenever we're living our life, to live for him. So look, in this, sometimes people can get a little bit confused, and they're like, well, if heaven's perfect, how can somebody have rewards and somebody have more and somebody have less? That doesn't seem fair, and that doesn't seem right. So there's several things with that. For starters, right now we live in a fallen world with a fallen nature. So we have a tendency, if somebody has something we don't have, we're going to get jealous of them, because why do they have that and I don't have that? But in heaven, all of that's going to be gone. We're not going to be jealous because our friend is going to have more than us. We're going to be thankful that they have more. But also, we're going to be so much more blessed and thankful that we got saved from hell, what we were saved from. We're not going to be at all disappointed. But it's kind of like an illustration that I sometimes use for this is, if you can just think of somebody who they've been, let's say, walking through the desert for a good while, and they're just absolutely just at their wit's end, needing some water. And you give somebody a pool and they get like a nice drink and the cup's like this big, they're going to be completely satisfied. Now, somebody else might get a whole lake and get a drink this big, but you're not going to be thinking, well, why don't I get a lake? You're just going to be thankful for the pool. And in some type of sense, that's kind of how it will be with in heaven. Some people will have more, some people will have less, but it will be completely satisfaction for everybody. And every Christian, here's the thing, every single Christian, except for possibly, I guess, somebody who's saved on their deathbed, every Christian is going to produce some good works in their life. You know, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross. And sometimes those things happen where people get saved right before they pass away. But if we have an opportunity to live, and this kind of goes to Justin's series about producing fruit, we will produce good works. Jesus said that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And that because we are a new creation in Jesus, we're not going to live like we did before. We're going to live different. So if we're not ever producing anything for the Lord, that might be a wake-up call to who am I living for? What am I living for with that? So listen to this quote by Randy Alcorn. He said, the Bible makes it clear that while our faith determines our eternal destiny, our actions determine our eternal rewards. So we are saved by faith alone, not because of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation. It's a free gift of God. But once we've trusted in Christ, by the grace of God, he gives us the ability to not just, you know, put it under a basket, but to go and then live for him with all that we have. So there's all kinds of examples that you could give for what's living for God, what's not, how does it translate to building with gold versus building with wood? And I mean, there could be a longer list, but I just had a few for examples of gold. Unseen acts of kindness. So things that you do that maybe nobody even knows about. Maybe you get somebody's paper and throw it to their porch because it's, you know, in the middle of the street or whatever. Those small acts of kindness that nobody knows about, nobody really cares about, God cares about them, and he's going to reward you for them one day. And it can seem like that day might not happen, but that just gives me all the more reason to remember that even if nobody else is watching, God's watching, and he's remembering what you're doing for him. To sacrifice for the kingdom, whether you're talking financial sacrifice or whether you're talking about monetary, or if you're giving your time or materials to the Lord, you giving to others to serve Jesus. Now, and keep in mind, if you're doing everything just to receive a reward, Jesus said, you know, to those that pray to be seen by others, that give to be seen by others, to fast to be seen by others. If you're doing it just to, you know, hey, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm so great, and God's going to reward me for this. The Bible says that's your reward right there. You're not getting anything else because you're doing it to have men's applause. But if you're doing it with the right heart, then God will reward you for that. Faithfulness in big and small things, caring for those who can't repay you. And then if you're just being a prayer warrior, maybe you're praying for others in your prayer closet, nobody else is even really aware of it. You might be praying for a friend that they don't even know that you're praying for them. You've prayed for them for 5 years and you're not necessarily seeing the breakthrough in this prayer that you would like, but God's noticing that. Being faithful to study God's word. You know, those are all examples of building with gold. Now, what's building with wood? It would be seeking the applause of people more than ourselves, having selfish motivations behind all of our actions, superficial religion. Jesus had the strongest words of condemnation, not towards the prostitutes, not towards the tax collectors, but towards all the people who they put on a great front on the outside, you know, the Pharisees. He said, you know, outside it looks like the cup is clean, but inside it's all gross and nasty. And sometimes that's how people can be in our world, is we can, on the outside, we can look very religious, but on the inside, we're not living for Jesus like we would like, but we want to show everybody how great of a Christian we are. But the fact is that sometimes in our lives, right now, the gold and the wood can seem indistinguishable. It's almost like you can have a gold-tinted wood coloring on your stuff, and it might look, well, that looks like gold from here, or that looks like wood to me from here. But it becomes obvious once it passes through the fire. There's no middle ground there. There's no half and half. It's either it was wood or it wasn't. And for me, I want to have as many rewards as possible so that I can lay them at the feet of Jesus. I want to have a truckload. I don't want to have a handful. I want to have as many as possible so that I can give it back to him. You know, anything we do is from God, and all that we have is from God and for God. And whenever we have these rewards, you know, it talks about how the 24 elders, they lay their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And I believe that's what we're going to do with our rewards, is we're not just going to hoard them to ourselves and hold on to them, but we're going to get to give them to our Savior who did so much for us and will do so much for us in eternity. And that should be a motivation, that we don't just want to say, well, I got my get out of hell, you know, free card. I'm good. I'm going to heaven, so I'm good to go. Because we should want, after we've been saved and we know how much he loves us, we should want to please him and to live for him and all that we've done. So listen to this quote. That there was a pretty famous theologian in the 1950s called A.W. Tozer, and he was writing or talking to this guy named Leonard Ravenhill, who became a pretty famous pastor in his own right. But he was talking about rewards and judgment and stuff, and he said this. He said, "We'll hardly get our feet out of time into eternity that we'll bow our heads in shame and humiliation. We'll gaze on eternity and say, look at all the riches there were in Jesus Christ, and I've come to the judgment seat almost a pauper." You know, that would be a really sad thing if we've lived our whole life for, you know, as a Christian, and we really don't have much to show for it. That would be a really sad thing. Now, nobody's going to live a perfect Christian life. That's why we need Jesus in the first place. If anybody could live the perfect Christian life, then Jesus didn't need to die for them. But all of us have have messed up. We have made mistakes. And after you've become a Christian, if you've been a Christian for more than 5 minutes, you realize that you still have that sin nature. You still struggle with all kinds of stuff. So we still need Jesus, but we should endeavor to do a better job living for him. So whenever you, if you guys have your Bible, go to Matthew 10 real quick. And when you get there, maybe keep a finger there and go to Matthew 25 as well. Matthew 10 and 25. So when you get to Matthew 10, we're going to be looking at verse 42. And it says this. It says, "And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward." And then Matthew 25, verse 40. Matthew 25, verse 40 says this. "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" So whatever it is that we're doing for the least of these, it's as if we're doing them for Jesus Christ himself. Now that might change the way that we perform works in our life. If I thought whenever I was helping this little kid with VBS or whatever, that in a sense it's as if I'm helping Jesus Christ. Like if Jesus came through this those doors and he was to sit front row, I can promise everybody here would be shaking his hand, friendly. "Hey, do you want to, you know, pray together tonight? What's up?" But sometimes we have this opportunity for other people, and we're just like, somebody else will deal with that. Somebody else will ask them to a Bible study or invite them back to church. And God wants us to share that with others, to not just keep that to ourselves. So if you had if you can imagine, like in Galardia, which is over there where, you know, Kevin Durant used to live and all those rich people. It's like $1 million just for the plot of land. So before you even start building, it's $1 million just for the plot. Now, if you were to buy that plot of land and somebody was to start building their house with straw, we would all go, "That's insane. You're going to have that expensive of a plot of land and you're building with straw and wood and stuff." And that's how we are spiritually. We have the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we're building with all kinds of worldly stuff that's not going to matter a hill of beans in, you know, 100 years. And usually it won't even matter in 5 years. And we can focus so much on who's going to win the ball game. And I love sports as much as the next guy. But whoever wins a ball game doesn't matter whenever you think about somebody's dying and going to hell. And we have people who will... You know, grown men will cry whenever their sports team loses. They'll literally shed tears. And then, you know, somebody doesn't know Jesus and it's just like, "Well, yeah, whatever, that stinks. I hope they do that at some point." And if we knew the heartache that will cause not only their family, but that where they're going if they don't know Jesus, that should change the way that we live. Listen to this. It says in Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." So he said that there's a reward coming. I'm going to give up all this worldly wealth that I'm getting as being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because there's a reward even greater than this awaiting those who are faithful to the Lord. And that's what he was after. And for you guys, that's, I hope, what you're after as well. Listen to Jesus. In the last chapter of the Bible, he says this. He says, "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each according to what they have done." So each person, according to what they have done, will receive a reward or lack thereof. The Bible's crystal clear that there are rewards in heaven. Not everybody's going to get the same rewards. And that should not be an area for competition, but an area for me personally. How am I being faithful with what God has entrusted to me? And ultimately, if we love God, then that should be just a reason to do that. But listen to this. With whatever it is that we have, if you have the foundation of Jesus, maybe you haven't been living for him like you would like in recent weeks or months or years, today's a new day. You can't change the past. You can't fix whatever that was that you did yesterday. But God's given us breath today to live for him. So my encouragement for you all would be to seek to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. There's two questions I have for you guys. One is Jesus the foundation of your life? And you just can answer that in the quietness of your heart. Is Jesus your foundation? And if you would say, well, I'm not sure, then how you can remedy that is if you believe in your heart, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It doesn't take a rocket science degree to trust in Jesus. It's admitting to God that you're a sinner, that you've broken his law, that Jesus paid your fine, he died in your place, and that he rose again for you. And that if you believe that, you'll be saved. But then the second question for a lot of you is, what are you building your life upon? So maybe you feel like, well, I'm a Christian. I've got the foundation of Jesus. What are you building your life upon? Are you building with wood, hay, and straw? Or are you building with gold, silver, and costly stones? Join me in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus. And I thank you for what he's done for me and for us. And my prayer today, Lord, is that each person in here would become aware of the fact that we will stand before you and that one day all of our works will be laid bare. There will be no excuses left. So if anybody's not sure if they're a Christian, if anybody's not sure of their walk with Jesus, may they settle that today. And you know, it says in there, it says, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And for those who are believers, Lord, I just lift them up to you, praying that they would begin to live their daily lives in the randomness that can come about their life, that they would live for you and not for themselves, that they would live with an eternal perspective in front of them. And as we sing this song of praise and worship to you, Lord, I pray that there would be a time of response, whether that's coming forward and asking somebody on the prayer team to pray for them or just in the pew talking to God, asking you to work in their life. May you begin to work in them right now, and may they respond to that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.